Welcome, everyone. It is that time you've waited for. It's the wrestling show every week, every Tuesday morning, at least in the United States, it's the morning. Billy's on fucking England time, fucking mid-afternoon, sipping a fucking daiquiri. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with said Billy Body.
It's 12, Cab. It is still morning. I think this is the morning.
No, that's fucking noon. Every time it hits 12, you're done.
It's rough now because I am watching the... I am now still up, but I'm not watching Raw. So I am now getting up to watch Raw at 9 o'clock after having 5 hours sleep because I watched the game. Although I did fall asleep during the game, so I actually have no idea how many hours sleep I had.
Yeah, so you get the same amount of sleep I do. It just happens to be, it seems like human hours, but you stay up late. I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night, and that, for me, normally I'm like at 9:30 when I have to get up at 4 a.m. So I'm like, oh, 6 hours of fucking sleep. Fuck me. But look what we do for you people. And now we might actually have a couple more people listening because Billy actually promoted the show this week. On one of the many big popular shows he's on, he said, you know what? I do a podcast that we talk wrestling about. I was like, oh my God, finally.
Yeah, I tweeted out as well. Vince Russo retweeted it. So
see, that's the one thing. I'm always like, yeah, Billy never like tweets a link to the show or says a show is up, any of that. I'm like, it's after he does it, it's just out there. So,
it's because the oldest show, and I always have this weird thing in my head. It's like, well, how do you not know that we come from this? But I don't think they do. Sometimes it is literally me popping up out of nowhere. So, in some people's eyes, I'll just be some guy that came out of nowhere.
That's
whereas I know I'm from here. So,
well, I'm glad people actually started following my fucking Twitter now. So, I get a bit each day with, people following over at Lingus Mafia, which thank you very much, people, because Twitter's been around forever and we've been doing this forever, and it's like, I just don't, you know, you go, who cares, really? And I think we were one away from the devil number 666, and someone signed up and then the next day they were gone, which was very fucking odd. So we're still waiting for the devil number to get there. Let's get into SmackDown. There's three things we have to review. It's SmackDown, it's Clash of Champions. Is it Clash of the Champions or Clash of Champions?
I think it's Clash of Champions.
And then we have Raw from last night, of course. SmackDown, they get into the whole Roman Reigns storyline with his cousin, one of the Usos, and they do a pretty good package. I was texting you about this. Was it that night I was texting you about it, about how fucking great it was? And if we didn't know that, of course, Roman's going to win this, they do try to make you believe that there is a chance.
Well, the Uso could win.
Yes. I mean, we know, obviously, but they don't like just go, who cares? They put effort into it. And, you know, with the passionate speech about, what if you do fucking lose? You know, I could do this too. I'm going to be the one. I'm always the one, as, you know, people say, which one are you? And I'm going to show them which one I am. I'm the one who won fucking championship and all that kind of stuff. So it was a very good. They've done this so fucking well.
Yeah, it was a show-long story where Paul said he's not going to come out till he wants to come out. And then finally we get the real heel stuff coming out where he just straight out turns around to him and says, you can't do what I do, you are a tag guy. And he's still not committing to the full turn because he has the subtleties there. You know he's an ass, but he's still saying, you mm-hmm. know, albeit one half of the greatest tag teams of all time, but I'm the, what did he say he was, the breadwinner and things,
the head of the table.
Yeah, the tribal chief stuff didn't really come to fruition until Sunday, but yeah.
I saw some little meme where he's like screaming, I'm the head of the table, head of the family, all that, and then it's the Rock underneath going, was that the kid's table? Because it's like, oh yeah, Rock kind of is the head of that family, isn't he? Meanwhile, though,
these families in this culture, they fucking feed their cousins and nephews and everything like all the way through. I mean, how?
Apparently so. I in the Samoan culture, apparently everybody's sending money to everybody. I mean, we always heard that about Yokozuna was like, you know, making sure people's bills were paid when they were going to have their electricity turned off and shit like that. Sami Zayn decides to get involved in a match, which was interesting because I was like, why is this? If they're going to have a three-way at the fucking pay-per-view, why are they having a three-way now? It just doesn't happen to be a ladder match?
This just seemed like something just to put on the show. But I think, I guess in a sense that it was kind of smart in the end, because I thought it was dumb at the time and then thought it was even dumber once, obviously, once Sami won it, I'm thinking, well, he's dead out for Sunday. Like, he has no chance. It's definitely one of the other two because he got the win on the show.
Yeah.
So they, like, outthought everybody who's been watching wrestling for a long time, where the people that win on the go-home don't win on Sunday. And then they, like, maybe they used this. I've given them maybe too much credit, but they outthought the marks, including me, who I didn't. I looked at this and thought, oh, that's stupid. And he actually did a finish where Sami won, so he's completely out of the running for Sunday.
He'll never win on Sunday. Yeah. So the Otis build up about that he's got to give up his briefcase, otherwise he's going to be sued, and all this stuff. You know, it's funny because I don't take the notes for SmackDown, and you usually take notes for SmackDown, and I see him in the morning, and I go, oh yeah, nothing ever fucking happened. We never got a fucking thing. It was supposed to be, okay, this is when this ends.
Or, yeah, but 1 week.
Yeah, he's got to decide. And it never, nothing happened.
It makes zero sense. Like, the whole thing makes zero sense whatsoever. I don't understand what he legally did wrong and why he needs to hand the briefcase over to the Miz. This is the dumbest. If he's decided internally that some way, for some reason, you're going to hand it over to the Miz, which is not the person that you should go to if you're doing this story. I personally don't think that he will end up getting it anyways, but you could have just been a case of just doing the thing with Mandy. That was enough. Like, with this whole thing with, it's always one little bit too many. It happens over on Raw as well, where it's like the Dominic, Aaliyah, Murphy, Rollins story is all fine, except that whole part where it was like, oh, they're not your children. Like, it was like, oh, wait, he's not your children. Oh, no, wait, she's not your child. It's like, why does that need to
they
be?
They had to ruin it.
Why does it not need to be, that's not your daughter, because your daughter would never act like that or whatever, without the DNA and all? Because if he had a DNA test, would it not, like, why did he get DNA scientific DNA testing without someone's name on the top of the fucking page? Like, that's the first thing on anything medical in the whole world, in any country, or from maybe like some African slum. But here, like, it's the same thing. It's like, we go back to it and it's like, okay, you want Otis's briefcase, you got Mandy off the show, Otis wants to fight you, but why don't, instead of doing like match every week and boring us to death, why don't you say, you don't get to put your hands on me for what I did to your girlfriend unless you put your briefcase on the line. It's so fucking simple. Why are you like complicating simple shit in order to do these convoluted bullshit stories that don't work? Just do the simple story. Mm-hmm. No one cares anyway. It's Miz and Otis, but at least simplify it. I don't understand. Well, I know who's involved in writing all of this, and they shouldn't have a job in wrestling anymore, but they still do, and most of their stuff is shit. And I almost feel like the stuff that isn't shit that we see on this show are like the wrestlers taking it into their own hands. Or, and I don't want to be like on the people on the internet going, oh, Uso and, well, I heard one podcast, Smart Wrestling Fan, who said that, oh, you know why Uso and Roman's so good? Because you can just tell it's all being written by Paul Heyman. No, he isn't. Like, this guy isn't the god of everything. He got a job on Raw to create, and he was fired. And he was rightfully fired because Raw was fucking shit while Paul Heyman was doing it. So he's not this great creative genius. He created ECW. This is what I said on Russo's show as well. He created ECW in a time where you could do anything. It was the 90s. Fucking Nirvana were running around. Eminem emerged at the end of the 90s. Fucking Biggie and Tupac were shooting each other dead. Like, loads of shit was going on in the 90s. You could fucking do crucifixions and blood rape and whatever you fucking wanted to on TV. Mm-hmm. WWE just copied them and did a version that wouldn't lose them sponsors, which was the Attitude Era. But it's not revolutionary to realize that, oh, exist in 1995 and I can do whatever I want. And then when he gets opportunities to write in this current climate, like, he couldn't do anything. So to turn around and go, oh, Paul is booking this whole Roman Uso thing, he's probably not. Like, if you think that, you're a fucking Mark dickhead. Like, you're up Paul Heyman's ass unnecessarily when there's no proof that any of that happened. It's probably Roman, who's probably been sitting there for 7 years, bored out of his mind, thinking about what it's going to be like when he can be a heel. And Jay's probably just reacted to it. So people need to, like, stop drawing their own conclusions, because if the show is mostly rubbish, then the people writing it are rubbish. And the bits that are good are being, like, carried by the rest. I guarantee you that nobody backstage had anything to do with the stuff that they came up with in that ladder match. I bet you it was the three wrestlers. 100% bet you it was the three wrestlers that created that ladder match on Sunday.
We have Bayley cutting a promo on Nikki Cross, and it's about what she's going to do to her Sunday, which she should have included. And I got to wear a fucking mask.
These COVID tests for Sunday, like, there's a whole load of people that got it, apparently.
King Corbin beats Riddle, which is very interesting. Fucking straight up fucking beats him. I was surprised by that. And so now the feud's over. Okay, Corbin can fucking finally be done with a feud because he won finally.
I think they're gonna have a kiss my foot match or something.
Oh God, what? That's interesting to say because of the whole flip flop shit, and he always mentions it. You're right. That's. Lacey Evans goes against Alexa Bliss, and it's a disqualification. Lacey wins because Bliss is always turning into this fiend person. When Fiend's voice comes over the speakers and she gets into a bit of a trance and goes crazy, you know, shit like that. She was looking all right, though. And even I enjoyed the she came out there and stared at Roman afterwards, like all disheveled and shit.
Yeah, so that was probably leading to him being next, isn't it? Fiend and Roman.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. You know, it's, I don't know, you got to feed Roman something else still. I'm like, well, can't get the other twin in there. He's still a little hurt.
No, but the thing is, it's Hell in a Cell next, so he's going to have a Hell in a Cell match with somebody. But yeah, I mean, I think Fiend and Roman is better for WrestleMania or even Royal Rumble than what you're actually doing, which looks like it will be Big E or someone like that. No one's going to be ready for Roman, not except for Fiend. Like, not if they carry on like this, because it's just too good. And by the time he does all this and it builds up to him facing, I don't know, Big E at Mania, people will just be like, what the fuck is this? Like, Roman, they'll want Roman to beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. At this point, I'm like thrilled with Roman. I'm like, never lose the title. It's an amazing flip. It's the best thing I've seen in a fucking while with them. From a guy who nobody wanted around to now you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what he does. It's quite fucking remarkable, the flip that they've done. Let's get into the pay-per-view. The first thing is the ladder match. And Sammy wins this ladder match and becomes the Razor Ramon champion with the two belts. And, oh my God, I was fucking uncomfortable. Anything that has to do with Jeff's fucking ear, I am so fucking uncomfortable by. I hate it.
Yeah, I flinched when I saw that. Like that.
He puts handcuffs in fucking Jeff's ear hole and then handcuffs him to a fucking ladder, which I'm bothered by. Jeff is going in the fucking ring, and do you see fucking AJ kicking at him? Where I'm like, careful, because if you fuck up at all, you drop this ladder. Oh, it hurt my balls to fucking look at this.
Ugh.
I mean, you know what I start thinking? Do you think one of these days that perhaps at a Mania that Jeff goes, fuck it, I'll fucking snip my fucking earlobe and fucking, like, if he's chained up to something to win something, he'll actually fucking get something, cut his earlobe and fucking get free.
I feel like his whole ear will come off, though. Like, that's...
Well, I mean, he can clip that fucking rubber skin right there, but, I mean, oh, would he do that for a fucking shock moment?
It's making me, like, feel... Even before that, they were having a good match, but, like, the fact that it was, like, generating that kind of reaction means that it was well done, because that's what it was supposed to do, so...
They chain up AJ to the ladder, like, through one of the rungs to the middle part of the ladder, which was pretty good, because then he's really, like, strung and stuck. And that's when Zayn gets it. Asuka beats Zelina, and it's a pretty good match. It's fine. It is what it is. Zelina is a little fidget spinner, so that's always nice to watch. Lashley beats Apollo Crews. Fuck. Fuck, dude. I can't fucking handle this anymore with them. And they explain it again on fucking Raw, which I was like, oh, they're actually addressing that this is fucking not over yet and saying how many times we have to fucking do this, which is interesting. I'm assuming that old Cedric has COVID as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. They sent him away to boot camp.
COVID boot camp.
Oh my god. Billy's favorite tag team of all time, the Street Profits. They beat Andrade and Garza, and Garza is injured. And we've had another botched pin. And what's funny is I rewind it and see the whole, like, it looked like he either fucking rips his fucking groin with a high knee because he stretches very far, or like a quad type of thing, because he was fucking he was all contorted trying to get himself right and make his tag and get out. And you would think, I just don't understand why a referee doesn't say we have to go home and we have to make the pin. He doesn't tell the guy, he just pins him. And I mean, I'm sure the guy knows, okay, that's why it happened, because he knows his guy's fucked up. But
yeah,
all you got to do is say, hey, injury, we're making this pin here. But they never tell him, apparently.
Obviously, it looks shitty at the time until you go on the internet. So if you don't go on the internet, then it just remains looking shitty.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. You do have to go back to see. Is there any word on what this injury actually is?
No, it's just like something about hip or something.
Okay.
Just a hip injury.
So Bailey is in the ring saying that Nikki hasn't been cleared yet. I guess it was from the beating that Bailey did, why Nikki Cross isn't there. And so Asuka shows up instead, which is very odd, and it becomes a disqualification. So Asuka wins, quote unquote, but Bailey keeps the title. And we get to see Sasha looking very nice. And it's so interesting, 'cause I laugh whenever anyone shows up. Like, she had the neck brace on, right? I laugh when they come out without that kind of a thing and they're always holding their neck. Like, hey, everyone, my neck's hurt. Like, in real life, you would never let anyone know you were hurt in any sort of way. But meanwhile, they're holding it the whole time and selling it. And it's like, here's the target. Kill me. Drew wins this ambulance match. Go ahead.
I didn't want to see this. First of all, like, Nikki Cross is not there. And I was assuming the attack was planned for after the Nikki Cross match anyway. But first of all, putting Oscar in is dumb. That's like a fucking stupid thing to do. She just had a match and... I guess they were like really limited to the people who were just knocking around. And then you end up having fucking a non-finish. And then you have Sasha coming out. I already said, I don't want to see this woman, even though she looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see her until fucking near WrestleMania. I don't want to see her until she enters the Royal Rumble or whatever. I don't want her to see the get this match at Hell in a Cell, because that's even what their plan was. But for some reason, they've decided that they're going to keep her on TV, and they must blow through this now. It's more important to maintain SmackDown's momentum, getting these twos on Fridays, and not taking anybody off the show, which is dumb. It just affects the long term situation. I guarantee you, right now, I make this prediction that at the SmackDown matches for the SmackDown Women's Championship and the WWE Championship match. So let's say Roman goes in as the champion and Sasha wins this at Hell in a Cell and goes in as the champion. Mm-hmm. That will be less interesting than the two Hell in a Cell matches. So Fiend versus Roman and Sasha versus Bayley, the culmination of the feud. Mm-hmm. Those two matches at Hell in a Cell will be big, will be bigger and more interesting than what they do at Mania, because they're going to blow their load. Unless fucking Brock Lesnar wins the Royal Rumble, which is what I want to see. And then Paul is going like, oh, we can dominate, we can dominate, we can dominate both brands. Go and get your revenge against Drew. And he chooses Roman. Because that is the best story that you can tell. Unless they do that, then I'm not interested. If they're wasting Fiend and you're wasting Bayley and Sasha at the next pay-per-view.
The ambulance match. You had conversation with Drew about this?
Yep.
And?
Yeah. It basically says here, my text to him. Well, you can read it. I sent it to you.
Yeah, that's why I was setting it up for you to read, since you were the one who texted me. You had said, bro, did you text all those guys to help you win, or did they show up by themselves? Because everyone who ever got kicked by Orton shows up and helps Orton win this, or helps Drew win this, obviously. And, of course, Dave Meltzer has said that this is how they were going to get the belt off of Drew, which in normal times, that is always an excuse on how to get the belt off people, is by some bullshit match, right? So you have to admit, though, when give credit where credit is due with Dave Meltzer, Billy, because Dave Meltzer, you got to admit that 90% of the time, he's 20% right. Wouldn't you have to say?
I wanted to go on a tirade about this online and...
Well, did you see I sucked you off online?
Hey?
Did you see that on my Twitter?
I didn't see that. What did you do?
Really? Shit, I tagged you in it, and I tagged Vince in it and everything.
Sometimes look at a day she's Twitter unless it has a big number against it.
Yeah,
it
you'll have nine. To look later, I guess, because that was yesterday. Go ahead.
There's a lot of people, but I'm not. I don't have. Oh yeah, you and Dave, unreal. Maybe you should just take stories from the leading wrestling industry news, really, about you like others. Okay, so the thing is that this video, this video that I made a little video that now I want to be like shared everywhere, and it's on my like Twitter account, and there's a load of people on there going subscribe here, but they're mostly going subscribe to Russo. This is like where the guy is, which is fine, but not my preference.
Yeah, it's
but
probably because you haven't promoted yourself ever.
Yeah, but I mean, this one is from my Patreon. And for those guys that want to go and look at the audio clip, it's going to be pinned on my Twitter at DirtySheets.com. And that audio clip is from the Clash of Champions preview, which is $5. So where is the betting package, which includes UFC at the weekend and WWE in boxing? Is the best place to go, because you get your official picks, because I tell you what to bet on, where to bet it, and how much. For $5, you would have got this Clash of Champions preview, which we promised last week, and you would have been told, go and bet Drew anyway. On whatever money you want to bet, it's up to you. He's been made... Not only was he... Last week when he did a show, he was an underdog, right?
Mm-hmm.
A slight underdog.
Yeah,
people
insane.
People piled in on what Dave Meltzer said, and he ended up going off at 6-4. That means like for 400 you can make a 600 profit. The Packers, this is the same price that Packers were to win on the money line. Another bet I told you to do on our NFL show, where I told you that they would win by double digits, and had it not been for a field goal at the end of the game, mm-hmm. pointless field goal, they actually would have won by double digits. They fucking beat this team by 7 points on a 3.5 spread. So we're giving you fucking money away on all our patrons, all our podcasts. Like, the NFL show is absolutely ridiculous. We picked the best bet of the week, and so far we've made six six top plays and have landed all of them. But in addition to that, on the side, we were like married to others, like all these totals, which all won. Seattle, we were both like, yeah, Seattle win. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know, if you're missing the NFL show, which is fucking free on his feed, you're an idiot, because we're just giving away money. And if you're not subscribed to my Patreon and you're listening to my podcast, you're a fucking bigger idiot, because I preview every show and you can simply just bet on the predictions. And now there's actually a bit of audio that's been cut up, because I only just learned in the last month how you record video, how you screen record videos on a phone, because Cav taught me. And and now I like have put that up. So go and have a look at what you would have heard on my Twitter page. And then if you don't sign up, then I don't understand.
You know what you should do? You know how you do your little video thing and it's like you always see the other screen first and you have to swipe up and then you see your video and it'll show you like if you were listening to certain music or something and it'll have the name of it. You have to on purpose have it say something like piss porn or something like that. And like don't even mention it. See if people go, what the fuck? What was he watching?
What?
You know, if you swipe down, right, on your phone, we have the iPhone. You swipe down and it'll show the little player like you were listening to music or if you were listening to a video. It'll have the name of it by the little player area on your phone.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
so
I always when I post
put
videos,
porn
I
on it beforehand.
I always crop that bit. I always crop that bit out, like the whole where you're like finding this, the 3-2-1 that I always
yeah.
I don't use that. Yeah.
Just don't ask Billy to give his opinions on Tom Brady because I plan on laughing at him on the NFL show where he was telling me how fucking Denver was going to beat Tom and I said, get the fuck off of my phone. Thank you, Billy. And by the way, guess who bet on the Bears this weekend and won too? Thank you.
It was me.
I go, you know what? There's a lot of injuries. If I would have known Foles would play, I would have bet from fucking a lot more. All right, let's get into, at the very end of this pay-per-view, as we have mentioned, how fucking fantastic the story was with Roman and the Uso, and he was just beating the fucking piss out of him. You need to fucking say I'm the tribal chief, and killing him, and his brother comes out and wants to throw in a towel, and he's like, don't do it, and he's like a dead person. I saw some memes where it was Rocky IV with Apollo dead, you know, don't throw in the towel, all that stuff. They did this fucking great. And I was fucking hard watching this. I said, this is fucking good shit. This is good shit. So I'm thrilled with what the fuck they're doing with Roman and slowly evolving with his, now he's shirtless Billy. Yes. And
if you listen to that audio, that was another story we had.
Yes.
Did you listen all the way to the end?
Yeah, I mean, I saw that he had a press conference though and like said what he was gonna do, so I didn't think that was like that big of fucking news. But he had said how it's going to turn into, like, he wants it to be a mafia thing, and he's going to have his shirt off, and he's going to change his music. So piece by piece, we're getting there. And they're doing really fucking good. But it was great because I think the cherry on top was where the brother's holding his hand, and fucking Roman just drags him away from him to the middle of the ring and now beats the fuck out of him in front of him, like, sorry, just takes him away from him. I thought that was so good. As did you, apparently. Okay, thank you, Billy. Turn that fucking phone off with the Umar texting us.
I don't think you can turn the WhatsApp tone off because my Sony's down on silent, but the WhatsApp beep overrides it.
No, you flip that fucking the silent thing. No. I do. You don't hear it coming through on my side.
Well, it does.
You click that silent piece on.
And then I've clicked that, like, the volume was down. Now I've clicked that switch thing.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, it's just the switch. All right, let's get into Raw. All the way Raw. Drew's in the ring, but all the legends show up first. And Drew has to go one by one and suck each one of them off, which I laugh because one of these things is not like the other. And then there's Christian. And he has to, like, say, you know, fighting champion. Like, he gives a little thing for each person. You know, biggest athlete ever, most titles ever, the best performer ever, and a fighting champion. And the guy who gets concussed. So then you have Orton on the screen saying how, you know, I don't need to earn another title shot. I'll just be given one because I am who I am. Fuck you. And he leaves, quote unquote.
Yeah, he didn't actually turn around and say what was the logical thing to say, which was, you didn't beat me, all these other four guys beat me. And I did feel on the you didn't read my whole text to Drew, by the way. You ended up I just realized because you cut it off, because now I'm about to say what is in the rest of the text, and had you had read it properly, I would not be saying this.
See, and that's why I left it to you to read. Go ahead.
So I had my actual text said, bro, did you get all those guys to help you, or did they show up themselves? I put, glad nobody saved you from losing or some shit, but man, because obviously if they're involved in the actual finish, that's even worse, but still, they weakened him down. I put, but man, babyface, getting four versus one help is bad booking. Suddenly, you sympathize with a heel. I said, Bruce Prichard is devoid of ideas. He surely can't be booking you and booking Roman, because the Roman stuff is good.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce stuff is shit. And I tell him that his stuff is shit when it's shit, because otherwise it's not consistent with me telling him that you're great, you're great, you're great, you're great. And he actually told me like a while ago that this is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But even me at first, like when someone's champion, you always think they're going to say, fuck off, I'm champion. Like, I don't care what you think anymore. But sure, he hasn't actually said that. But at the same time, you've got to think there's got to be like Montiers out there that are going, you're great, you're great, you're so great.
Oh, you're so great. You're the best. I'm going to call you champ from now on instead of Drew.
Great match, champ. Yeah. That...
Great match, champ. Oh, I was... fuck. You want to know how much the Drew storyline is like going through my ears, one through the other? I consider myself a wrestling fan, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes, though, when you think, you go, hey, who's the U.S. champion? Like, you'll forget, right? You forget who a champion is for, like, who the fuck are the tag team champs on this brand? I forget. Because it happens so much and shit changes so much. I literally was... yesterday thinking, I go, did the fucking Raw world title get defended yesterday? And even worse, I go, who the hell is the Raw champion again? I fucking forgot. I absolutely fucking forgot. And then so last night they come out and I go, oh my God, how the fuck did I forget? Because you know what was in my head is thinking is the red strap. I go, okay, the SmackDown, we got the whole Roman thing, and it's blue. And I go, where's the red? Like, my fucking brain was just melting. I don't know what the fuck I was on yesterday, but I completely forgot. I go, geez, it's my buddy's friend is the champion, and I completely fucking forgot.
Yeah, that's a weird one to forget.
Like, that's real fucking bad. I go, that just has to be a brain hiccup, or I'm going to go fucking senile, because that's fucking bad.
Yeah, I don't think that's on them. Because I think they are.
That's me.
They are focusing on this championship to a certain extent. So yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think that's on them. Whereas there are legitimately belts where you can forget.
Oh yeah.
There's loads. Like I, off the top of my head, like if you say U.S. champion, like it is Lashley, but it's not. It doesn't come to you quickly. There's mm-hmm. been times where U.S. and Intercontinental and some of the tag titles, I'll get it, but if it takes longer than 10, 15 seconds, then it's very different to where it was in the past.
Mm-hmm. So,
Savage, Honky, Austin, Rock.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they open up Raw, and they're celebrating their 5-on-1 win, which I think looks bad, right? Mm-hmm. My opinion, the segment doesn't hit, because what it was like Drew was trying to do this legit talking, but like they would do in real life. Like he was trying to do the whole, this is how I talk to you guys in real life. But it doesn't work as an in-ring segment. He's talking to each person one by one. But it would have worked better if he went and approached them all backstage, which would have actually padded his shitty Raw out, like, which didn't even have a Raw Underground on it, which
very
is worrying.
Nice.
But
no
but
mention either.
But this segment was odd because he's going from person to person. He's like the quiet talker in Seinfeld when he's doing it too. Where you're leaning in and going, what? Like, it must be worse for you guys because it's with the accent
too. Yeah.
So I think that if you're going to do it in a ring, then have it energetic and just be like, make it a real celebration. Fuck it. Just own it. Like, you beat him with all these people. And it's like going, Christian, like, Big Show, you know, I did this with you, the Nature Boy, and then just pipe in the woo and all that kind of shit. The showstopper, the main event, the heartbreak kid. Like, just be loud and goofy with it rather than being like...
If you have to do it, because I wouldn't even want to see that. I hate when that pandering shit.
You have to do it in a ring, because it was like this. It was like, Shawn Michaels, you treat me in NXT. You mean so much to me. Like, you're so great. Like, you got come. Can I explain what a role model you are to me? Like, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was wrong. It was, again, this is something that Drew did wrong, and it was done badly. And I think this is a little bit on him, because maybe he wanted to do it like this, but it's like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing it goofy. But once you put yourselves out in the ring and you're opening the show, they've put you in a position where this is the hype up welcome to Monday Night Raw segment. You know how they would go, welcome to Monday Night Raw and all that. Well, that bullshit needs to be lively. Otherwise, this should have been done like one by one. Like, he should have actually walked into the fucking cards room and done it to them. I don't know what you're the fact that you're celebrating this as well. Like, you're telling us the legends, but they're celebrating the most goofy shit. It's like, oh, five of us beat one guy. Well, that's, you're pissing on yourselves. Mm-hmm. You're pissing down your trouser leg by celebrating this, because this has to be pretty low down on everything that you guys have done. I'd be embarrassed to celebrate this. But this is like the equivalent where people go online, they're like going, I reported this account and they got suspended online. Like, you're an idiot. You're a moron. Like that's these guys here. Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, we'll move on. Next they announce there's the King's Court segment tonight with special guest host Jerry Lawler. I can't believe they fucking said that. I was like, it's the King's Court. Well, yeah, the Heartbreak Hotel hosted by special guest Shawn Michaels. What the fuck? It's your the Brother Love Show with special guest Brother Love. Why would they fucking announce this?
I was expecting it to be Prince Charles doing this. His kids are over. I mean, his son's over there. Like, I mean,
might as well.
He decided to live over there with his, his mixed race wife to our tabloids dismantle for just because she's black. It's the most racist shit. Every fucking day. They fucking hate her so much, and it is just because she's black.
Is
they
she?
Can't even.
I didn't even know
she's
that.
She's a half black.
Yeah. Half? Really? Mm. She don't even look close.
No, she's. Why? Because she's hot.
No, she's not dark.
No.
Like, there's no, black. Like, barely a tan to her.
I don't see many mixed race girls that are unattractive. I think like
they're usually the best looking. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and even like with the guys, like these, like you see women that are like seeking this out. It's like they want that half black, half white. Fuck Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes is not one of the better ones. I could have used a better example, but you know what I mean. But there's women that actually seek that shit out. But like even with the women's side, they're all, you know, they're up. I always feel like, I don't know what Charlie is, but I feel like she might be like a mixie, or is she not?
I think she's Italian. Right. Yeah, she's Italian on her.
But he has that half black, half white look. Is Brandy one, or is she a full black?
I think Brandy's a full.
Right.
Yeah, she's pretty dark. Zelina loses to Asuka. Again, Andrade comes out and tries to speak. He has an open challenge, which is odd, because it's like, Zelina's like crying almost, where he's like, you're not fucking, you're no good without us and shit like that. And Keith Lee comes out, the repackaged one, instead of the limitless one. He shows up and smashes Andrade. Okay, who cares? We don't know if Retribution is approaching Truth or if it's the ninjas, because we get more 24/7 bullshit in the back. And Tozawa is alive. He wasn't eaten by sharks, apparently. And they say they're going to have a three-way later that night with him and Gulak and Tozawa, because they all exchanged the belt within 1 minute backstage. Why is this on my fucking television? You know what, though? Which would you prefer, this or 205? I take this. It's quicker.
Raw Underground.
Well, I didn't give you that choice.
Yeah. But where is...
Not this week. Rollins sees Murphy in the back, and Murphy goes and gets ready for something. Goes to get his suit that Rollins tells him to, but he leaves his phone. So Rollins grabs the phone and starts doing like a possessive girlfriend and starts looking through it. As I look at Billy's notes, and it's a perfect chance to do a page story where Murphy has your girl doing a dildo video.
Yeah, that's what you should have found. Like, but he was smiling afterwards, like when he was still looking for it. He was enjoying something, because he was going, oh man, man. You know, like he does.
Yeah. I was looking too. I'm like, oh, he's going to look at, see some dick pics and shit.
And as he, and
check this out,
was,
Aaliyah. Big fucking horn hanging over.
The other thing is that I don't know anybody. I don't actually know anybody that doesn't have a password on their phone.
Oh yeah, who? What the fuck?
I mean, what? I mean, unless he guessed it was like fucking Seth's birthday or something.
Yeah, it's 666. We're getting a draft October 9th. This should be interesting. King's Court with a guest host, Billy, and Aaliyah. No,
it wasn't me. I wasn't the guest host. Okay.
Aaliyah's in a nice white tank top. I love a tank top. A white tank top on woman. You always think you get a see-through and see nipple. And rubber black pants. I wasn't impressed by her ass as much, though. The mother with another Louis Vuitton fucking shirt. A blouse. Well,
Aaliyah, tit job or no tit job? Leave it.
Oh, you know what? It's interesting. She's still growing. So... they're not bad right now. She might need to squeeze them together a little bit.
I don't think she's growing at 19.
I don't know. She'll fill out a little bit more, I think.
What do you think about this game they have where they decide each week only one gets the ugly shirt? Louis. I think they hate Louis Vuitton, and Louis Vuitton has a deal with them. And they... and he's like, oh shit, someone has to wear the Louis today.
It is unbelievable that they always have to have that fucking shirt, and it's shit.
If we go out as familia, it just has to be one of us. And then they like fucking draw the straws out, and it's like Aaliyah's managed to escape it, but last week it was Dominic. It's always one. It has to be, there's something about it. One person wears the Rey Mysterio t-shirt, and this was Dominic this week. He was wearing Ray's shirt, not like a hand-me-down. So I think fucking Dominic's been handing shirts down to Ray since he was 13. So I'm talking like a fucking serious Rey Mysterio t-shirt new thing. So they're pushing their merch, they're pushing Louis Vuitton, and then two of them get to dress like normal people.
So would you like to hear the latest news that has just broke on my phone? This is really fucking funny to me, too. Why didn't we get like a Retribution and Raw Underground on the show? Retribution's in quarantine. One of them should be named Quarantine. The outbreak was at the PC. Yeah. Shit. The outbreak was at the PC And it's now taken out two matches, Retribution and Raw Underground. I first thought that too. I said, maybe that's why. Like, it happened at Raw Underground. So everyone in there, you get fucked up. That is the funniest thing ever. Retribution, the place that destroys everybody. They got to go in quarantine. That's so good.
I mean, really, they should have actually should have had all those names. They should have all just been.
Someone's got to be COVID. Oh my god. Oh, that's fucking great.
But I mean,
and they're gonna be hanging out with Aaliyah because she's 19. let's get back to this. Rollins shows texts of Aaliyah and Murphy sending each other tit pics and dick pics. And she's fucking, she said happy birthday to him. So soon she's going to be blowing him on TV.
Yeah, but I want to see what the rest is. I still think there's a possibility that Murphy left his phone there on purpose and they set this up between the two of them. And once he's like banged her, he'll get rid of her.
See, I'm thinking then it could go the other way to where obviously it's Aaliyah and Murphy setting up Rollins and saying, see, I'm not naive. I had this plan the whole time and we got over.
Or Aaliyah joins Rollins. But
I would prefer that actually. That's more of a fun story.
But I don't know if he's been on like TV enough. But it's all still good because it's all still open to go down any route. The only dumb one was the DNA crap last week. And also, you have to think that like maybe Rollins is giving the game away too early, because if it's like, you know, he could have like been building towards him actually, you know, banging her, which would have been, if he saw that he was on route to actually, his disciple was on route to actually fucking her, he could have had a quiet chat and said, hey, look, I've been through your phone. What I want is I want this video. I want to put it on Pornhub, and here's some examples of what we get. Like we can go down to SmackDown, talk to Woods. He's on Talking Smack. He likes to get involved.
Fuck, you know every time they look at Woods, they gotta go, I've seen you fuck.
This is where we bring Paige back on TV, and she's like,
oh,
next week.
Oh, and like, she's the mentor.
She's like, be careful, baby girl.
Don't dildo your asshole at the changing room in the mall. It might get out there. Hey, baby, I'm opening myself for you.
Where baby girl actually might be applicable. Like, she actually won't look like a moron saying it.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Lana and Natty now bring this show to a screeching halt. Why is Adam Pearce the GM now, apparently? Pearce goes and says, there's a new team that is here on Raw, and if you want a title shot against the tag champs, you kind of got to beat this other team. And my girlfriend Mandy Rose comes out, a new outfit, which is good that she's gotten away from everything having to be fucking gold. So now she's got a different outfit on, and she has a new tag partner, which I actually did think Sonya was going to come out. I really did. I was like, oh God, they're just going to go, fuck it. Lana wearing kick pads is fucking horrible. I mean, why? There's no fucking reason. And she's got the worst outfit ever. It's a fucking bathing suit.
She goes to wrestling school, you know.
What's that?
You know, she goes to wrestling school on Saturdays.
My God. She shouldn't even fucking say that. It doesn't look as bad if you say, I don't practice.
We got the most notes for anything here apart from what I wrote on SmackDown about Roman and Uso. I don't think we really went through many of those, but
well, I know you were busy with the game, so I was like, maybe you won't have time to make notes, so I made sure to do the notes for Raw this week.
I went add my notes,
yeah,
and your notes. It's like a fucking massive cluster of notes. So
so this was the idea for Mandy, throw in a fucking tag team. Waste.
Yeah. Have I tried to at least separate? Oh yeah, so I have. So we do your notes, and then I have mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You slide them in there.
but this is the idea they have for her. And the thing was, just like what I said was, there's a draft in 2 weeks, but Dana comes over from SmackDown. And why is it Dana? And why can't I get into Dana? Because if I'm a new fan, right, and I'm like into this show, do I like Dana? I think maybe yes, because I mean, you should want to fuck her. But the thing is that it's the same reason why Lana is never and will never be anywhere near my top five from this show, because I know too much about her and I've seen her like in her on her Instagram videos and I've seen Dana in Ride Along with Mojo and stuff. And
yeah.
She's just f-ing intolerable to me. And both her and Lana are. And they, even though they look fine, and obviously Lana is more attractive facially than Dana, but Dana's got a fucking banging body again.
Yeah.
A bit muscly, but still. But I just don't get into her at all. And she, I just find her really fucking annoying. And yeah, this is a stupid way to use Mandy, because now she's in a tag team over here. So
did you ever see every once in a while I'll look up I'll type in one of these women's names and type Nip Slip and try to see if there's something, because I'm like, we haven't really gotten Mandy, you know. I know there's some weird one where she's doing like a little video backstage and it's on her fucking Instagram or some shit, and it's weird because people aren't quite sure if it really is, because it's like well out of place. But as we know from bikini shots and when the nipples have been hard, she's got those Igor eye nipples. They're really fucking misplaced. But did you ever see this picture? I'm going to send it to you. I never saw this one before. When she wore that jeans outfit, like the jean jacket, shirt, and fucking shorts. Apparently her fucking nippy was fucking sticking out during this. You got to zoom in.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. I was like, it's high, isn't it? It's way fucking high.
Well, that's what the boob jobs don't change where your nipple is.
Well, they can. They do take it off at times. So anyway, Mandy and Dana win, which is funny because I said, for one, why would Natty and Lana ever have a title shot? They've never won a match. And Lana is a curse. She's the equivalent to as if Natty is drowning, asking for a life jacket and a life preserver, and someone throws her a fucking rock. And she goes right to the fucking bottom, because that's Lana. She was fledgling, had nothing to do, and they said, here you go, and destroyed her. I mean, not like she was some fucking end-all be-all, but now it's, well, now you get to hang out with your friend, but you're just going to lose every fucking match, because she's horrible.
Yeah. But it's all, again, 3 straight weeks, 2 weeks through a table, pinned again here. It's obvious what this is.
Yeah.
It's your husband left.
When we meanwhile, he was let go.
Yeah, he got another job. Like, yeah. Fucking, what a piece of shit.
Big Show, Christian, HBK, Flair. They're all talking while doing cards. Big Show says he hasn't retired and should accept the challenge of Drew tonight, because Drew says, I'm going to do an open challenge, but it's got to be for someone who's never had a title shot. Big Show was the very first person to ever have a title shot at Mania, right after he fucking beat Brock. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it was actually after WrestleMania.
But it was on the during WrestleMania. I mean,
yeah.
it was
at WrestleMania, but it was aired on Raw.
Yeah.
I remember it was like, fucking look, guess awful. What happened last night? It was like the co-main event. Big Show main event in WrestleMania this year. Yeah.
God. Yeah, if you think of that, it was the main event. The Douche Prophets come in, and they go fucking crazy around the table with yelling fam and all their fucking bullshit.
I've lost a lot of respect for these legends because... They're out there. First of all, they had a celebration for this 5-on-1, right? There was a big 5. I mean, this is Ric Flair as well, who, and Shawn Michaels, who both had big retirement celebrations on Raw, which are like two of the like most memorable Raw episodes ever. So they're celebrating beating Orton 5-on-1, and now I lose respect for them just because they fucking know these guys. Like, I don't even want these guys to be friends with these fucking idiots. I actually lose respect for them. I thought that Nate and HBK were going to start saying, what, fam.
Hey, fam. God.
Woo, fam. some bullshit like that.
Oh my god. Speaking of blacks, Black versus Owens. New hot topic music for fucking Aleister.
Speaking of blacks, Aleister Black. That's the best line of the day.
That might be the title of the show, Speaking of Blacks. Who cares about this match? Triple Threat 24/7. Who gives a fuck about this match? Now Gulak is on Raw, apparently.
Did you see Alex Bannister Black got new music from Hot Topic?
Yes, I did.
His music. What? Did you not even notice it?
Yeah, I did, of course, yeah.
It was like that kind of shit.
And I'm like, his best thing was that fucking entrance with the rising from the fucking dead thing. So, where's your fuck, marry, kill here? You just wrote fuck, marry, kill. Dana's dead.
Oh. Fuck, marry, kill.
There's nothing else with this note.
Charlie was interviewing Mandy,
okay.
Dana, and...
That's a pretty good one, though. That is a very fucking good one.
Well, not when the person is definitely dead.
Yeah, but I mean... I guess she does have to be the one who's dead, but... I think she'd be the more fun in bed than Charlie, perhaps. Like, I think she's dirtier because she got those big porno tits. Anyone who goes to that extreme.
So this to my next bit of my notes is right here. I said, what the fuck is this new thing on Raw when they see somebody in the corner of their eye and they're stunned? And I thought, because they see over there, it's dumb. I said it'd be much more cooler if, like, she looked at him like she liked him because... Like Dana would make a man out of him, like licking his arsehole, milking him, like something like, you know. Rey Mysterio's kids are getting like fucking fucked by 30-year-olds.
Sucking his taint.
Yeah.
Dominic versus Murphy.
So who did you marry?
Oh, Mandy. In a heartbeat. You know that's my favorite. I'm like a Derek with Lana.
I think I would have done it the other way around.
Mandy and marrying Charlie, huh?
I think Charlie would be good to marry. I think, or better at least.
See,
I don't know.
I prefer blondes. That's all.
No, so do I. But I just think like I'm looking at like wife material. Actually, I don't know. Mandy doesn't come across as too bad.
The voice of Charlie's a little too fucking manly-ish too.
Yeah, actually, I'm just
you get a little tired of hearing her. But also, you can watch sports with her because she's busy with sports. That helps. Mandy pretends she knows about sports, but we know. Yeah. Plus, she's a fucking Jets fan. What the fuck could you do with that? Dominic versus Murphy. Aaliyah shows up to stop him from beating him with a stick. And she's looking good running down. She's the best actress on Raw by far. Mm. She's distracting Dominic. Murphy gets the roll-up pin for this. Hurt Business addresses the Apollo constantly situation, which I was very happy that they that they even said something about, okay, is this ever going to fucking end? Six-man tag contest. Retribution, the lights go out, but nobody shows up because they're in quarantine. And the fucking Hurt Business loses. They get pinned clean.
Yeah, this is just Ali now coming back from his burial for criticizing creative on social media. He'll get killed by Lashley in the end because that's what happens. You pin MVP or Benjamin, and then you get killed by Lashley. So they're just building him up for that. But I'm so tired of it. It's like Hurt Business and catering. Is now getting up there with the fucking Street Profits versus the Mexicans. Like that, it's just fucking so long. I can't stand this combination of matches anymore. I fast forward through. I don't care if they're doing fucking flippity flips and 1-2 ooh and all this shit. Like, I don't give a fuck what. I don't give a shit how many stars the match is getting or what. I don't care. I just don't want to see these people having a fight at all. I don't care. There's loads of stuff like that on Raw. So, not interested.
Nature Boy keeps winning all the money for his wives that he needs to pay alimony for in the back. Right. Bianca Belair She does her EST stuff, and now it's the Fast Est. And of course she wins all these races. She's black. She's going against white people running. What are you, out of your fucking mind, blacks?
Did you see that white guy running?
Yeah, I was watching where she was doing the hurdles, and like he was barely jogging.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, that looks fucking bad. It's like he's barely fucking running. But, you know.
They go back to Byron. He's like, huh, I knew she was in track and field. I didn't know she was that fast. It's a fucking, first of all, they weren't going to air the races she lost anyway. And second of all, he's such a fucking dork. And at this point, I'm confused about their portrayal of black people, because they want this dork.
Well, he's an Oreo like no other.
Right. Well, Keith Lee's a poet. And then the douche prophets are fucking morons. They're even like black and loud and dancing around, and Bianca Blair's like, and all this fucking kind of shit. And they're like fam and bam-a-lam and all this shit. And then fucking we got the New Day over there, like, eating watermelons and chucking pancakes. Keith Lee doing poetry. The Hurt Business should be baby faces to all black people, because they're the only ones on the show which are a good representation of the race. I would be like, yeah, I'd be fucking rocking a fucking Hurt Business.
The ones who are bullying people and fucking beating them down and treating people like shit.
I mean, that's the black people I know. And
that's why they're usually lawyers. Go ahead.
Yeah, stealing food. Stealing food. They stole someone's fucking.
Like, they stole somebody's. Yeah, their breakfast.
It's free. It's free food in a paper plate. It's obviously like being served for free. It's the most pointless thing to steal. But yeah, like they're mean. They steal. That's more black than being a dork and like dancing and jumping around. I'm trying to look for something like.
Well, he's Urkel, Byron.
What's that?
He's Urkel.
Who's Urkel?
Byron.
Who's Urkel?
Oh, from Family Matters, you know, Urkel? The black nerd?
No, I don't know. I know Carlton. Is that the same?
No. No, Carlton is different, but yeah, it's the same type, yeah, for sure. And of course,
I think Vince McMahon has seen The Prince of Bel-Air, and every black guy wants, he's trying to like get Will Smith. He's like, I want Will Smith. Like the Street Profits are supposed to be the Fresh Prince, and then you have like, and that's the only show he's ever seen. I mean Keith Lee's Uncle Phil. Is he not?
I was almost thinking Uncle Phil was more of a retribution, more of a Hurt Business, because he's like a lawyer and they're businessmen.
No, because Keith Lee talks in a poetic kind of way. It's just dumb. It's honestly, I don't know why you just don't have one black guy on here that talks like a normal person and just beats people up. I mean, Lashley would be now the closest.
Yeah.
Other than that, stealing the food and bullying people. But you know what?
Well, all the Hurt Business. You're right. Each one of them knows how to speak.
Yeah.
Do you believe that blacks are better in racing because they're used to running from the police?
No.
No, you didn't believe that? I thought I saw this in your notes here. No. Okay.
You know, there's actually scientific research behind numerous things, because the black people have combinations of fast and slow twitch muscle fibers, and once they have them, like their fibers,
muscle fibers.
Everybody has fast twitch and slow twitch fibers. Like, so you can either be good at long or short distance running, but they have like stronger fibers than other people. Like they said, so that's why when you see things where you go, oh, black dick is always on the half semi. It is. That's true. It is always because of the fiber, because black muscle fibers are enhanced. That's why when a black guy gets fat, it's like he's really like not fucking taking care of himself, because they actually have much less of a chance to get fat. So because of the way, but at the same time, these are all like beneficial things. They're also like more susceptible to cancers, illnesses, and COVID. So
I thought it was the extra bone in their ankle. That's why they're faster and can jump higher.
I have no idea, but like when you look at this, when you look at this, the benefits and the with the issues, God has somehow managed to even out. Don't tell me there's not God when you look at like the way that like these things have been evened out, these tropes, because they're like super fast and big dicks, but they can die of lots of things. Like that was definitely evened out.
Yeah, somebody. Including the police. We get Drew versus a mystery guy, and it turns out to be Bobby Roode.
Fuck that.
Roode was bigger than Drew at one point when Drew beat him for the title. He was going to be a big star on the main roster. The last 3 years have worked out very, very well for him.
Do you remember when he was like on NXT and he was losing the belt to Drew and he was like, oh, yeah. He's coming up to this main roster and...
It's piss poor. It is interesting because the guy could talk, the guy could wrestle, great look, great body. And it's modern day like EC3. Like EC3 was ripped out of his fucking mind and was fantastic on a microphone and all that shit. And did not do a fucking thing. It should be ashamed of themselves. Okay, Drew beats him 4 minutes to the end of that. Now we get somebody's going into that locker room with the fucking legends, and it looks like Retribution, but we know it can't be because they're all in quarantine. So Orton pulls out, he's the hooded guy. He pulls off the mask and everything like this, and he puts on his head, which you know are like night vision goggles, which is fucking fantastic. And he walks in the room and they don't even notice he's there. He's standing next to them. And when they finally see him, he turns the lights off and has a chair, and all you hear is him beating the piss out of everybody, which I thought was fucking fantastic. Night vision, turn the lights off and kill everyone. And then he leaves, and you see everybody running to go fucking help. So how did everybody know to run to help unless they saw on the monitors? Because then he is back to being a janitor and just points. Oh, they're in there. Like, that makes no sense. But I mean, listen, you can't be perfect, but I like how they walked, how Randy walked away just as the janitor. And that's how they went off the air.
I wouldn't have done the point thing. I would have just gone.
And just then walk away. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I always said earlier. It's always one thing too many. This is minor mm-hmm. because like the other ones are like, you know, the other ones are like big storyline flaws where Rollins took his story down the fucking DNA route, and we've seen Keith Lee involved in the Randy Orton Drew story, which really fucking derailed it. We've seen loads of like derailing stuff. This is not derailing.
Yeah.
This is just too much to do.
Yeah.
It's like they saw the attack on this. So what did they think? This was now a real janitor. Like Randy got away and the real janitor was there now. The night vision goggles was about the cleverest thing they've done in this year, mm-hmm. other than the person who came up with Roman's turn and is writing that. But this was a smart like thing to do.
Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't have thought.
Well, that's the end of the show. We gave you an hour and 10 minutes. Jammed three fucking shows into it. Actually, I'm pretty happy that this is only as long as it's gone. I thought we were moving pretty well. If you want to find all of my nonsense, I am at Lingus Mafia. That is my Twitter, and my show is out on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, Amazon Music, all that good stuff. I do a show that has nothing to do with fucking wrestling. A lot of football shit in there. And Billy, we can find you.
Yeah, I spoke about it earlier, but yeah, I'm over at the Dirty Sheets com is my Twitter. The DirtySheets.com is my Patreon for wrestling, where you can get the info for $5, including that bit of audio that's pinned on my Twitter account and on our Facebook, the Dirty Sheets Facebook page as well. For $40 on that same Patreon on the DirtySheets.com, you'll get UFC, boxing, and wrestling stuff, and a load of like soccer podcasts and things as well, because if I do shows, I just end up just dropping them on there for free, so you will get those. And my main betting site is lockbetting.com, where I am 18-3 ATS in the NFL this season. There's no one in the world, I guarantee you, that has that record. anyone who's bet gambling is not going to be 18 and 3 after 3 weeks. And obviously, there's a lot more games played than that, but these are the games I choose to bet. So if I really like it and I send it out as a play, this year I've liked 21 games in the first 3 weeks and I've landed 18 of them. So if I like it, we are winning money on it. And so, and same for Cav, because the locks on our NFL show, which is out on Wednesday, tomorrow, are 6-0. So if we don't see a bigger number for that, then we'll fucking stick that on a paywall or behind a paywall or something, because there's no way people shouldn't be listening to that. Whether you watch the sport or not, start watching it and start winning some money. And if you don't watch NFL at all, like, what's wrong with you? What kind of life do you lead if you can't watch that sport, which comes around to like 16 or 20 weeks a year?
And now Billy's going to admit that American football is better than soccer.
Oh, no, I'm not going to ever admit that.
I don't know. You're crazy. All right, that's it. We will see you tomorrow on this feed for that NFL show. And if you're not into that, we will see you in a week, because we're out of time. Reach out and touch fate.